Go ahead and take out your Bible and turn to James chapter 4 to begin with. We're not going to be in the Revelation today. We'll pick back up in chapter 7 next week. Just wanted to let you know, when you wake up Friday morning, you'll honestly be able to say that hindsight is 20/20. Sorry. Just helpful information, I know. I have to confess, the older I get, what is it? It's my memory. I have a hard time remembering things. I've noticed that the older that I get, that I used to be able to remember names pretty good, and if you know me at all, I like to be able to remember people's names, and sometimes names stick, and has no rhyme or reason, but some names will stick in my brain pretty good. Some names just don't for whatever reason. There's no explanation for it. I just really have to work at some to remember those names. And it's frustrating when that happens. But there's a guy that I know at the Georgia Baptist Mission Board that I've seen him in a few meetings. And the first few times that I saw him, man, I struggled to remember his name. And even now, I'm pretty sure I remember his first name. I know I don't remember his last name. But I didn't feel so bad about the third time that I'd run into him, about the second time that I'd actually talked to him for any length of time, and he didn't remember meeting me the first time. So I didn't feel quite as bad about that, and he's younger than me, so that made it a little better. But for several years now, I've had to put things on my calendar, on my phone or my desktop or my iPad or whatever. I use Google Calendar so that wherever I go, I've got a reminder. And I don't just put events on there. If I want to remember to make a phone call tomorrow, I'll put that phone call on there with a reminder. Sometimes I'll even, if I'm taking medication and I have to take it at unusual times, I'll even put reminders on my calendar for that to remind myself to take my medication at the time that I need to take it. So I'm not afraid to use those things to do that. The struggle is indeed real. I need those reminders. But there are definitely times when it's good to have a short memory. I mean, for the athlete, if you have a bad outing, you want to forget that last outing and move on and move forward. You know, as a preacher, if you preach a bad sermon, you want to move forward quickly, get to the next one. But it's good to have a short memory about some things. It's good to have a short memory maybe when somebody in your family mistreats you over something. It's good to kind of let that go, just to put it in the past and don't sweat it, don't hang on to it, just let it go. So sometimes having a bad or a short memory is a good thing. But there are certainly other things that we need to remember, things that are good to remember. You know, it's a good idea, Winston, to remember your spouse's name. Just saying, that's always a plus to be able to remember that. It's a plus to remember your Social Security number these days. I mean, everything we do nowadays, it seems like they want your last four of your Social Security or your entire Social Security number. I'm not always real quick to give that out. I don't like people having that information unless they really, really need it. With all these things we have nowadays with passwords, oh my goodness. You know, how many times have I had to change my password because I couldn't remember what password I used on that particular thing because I don't use it regularly? You know, it's good to remember your cell number. You know, you may have to give it to somebody else and you want to remember that. But in the Christian walk, there are things that we need to remember, things that God wants us to do. We have a tendency to forget to do things that God wants us to do, that not doing those things becomes sin. It's sin, it's a sin of omission, and we're omitting something that we should be doing. We're going to look at the fact that we omit things and then look at how we can move from a flawed memory, from not doing things that we should be doing, to having a good memory, to having a fantastic memory, doing the things that God would have us to do. So as we face a new year, we can work on building the right memories for 2021. So James chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now in the same book, in James chapter 1, verse 23, James chapter 1, verse 23, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. May the Lord add richly to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your word is not a truth, but is the truth. God, open our hearts and minds. Help us to hear from you. Help us to apply your truth in our lives today, that indeed, Lord, we might not be hearers only, but instead doers of your word. It's in your powerful and precious name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want you to see about a flawed memory that we are guilty by omission. We're guilty by omission right there in black and white. We just read in James 4:17 that when we know that something is good, something that we're supposed to be doing, and we don't do it, it is therefore sin when we don't do it. Do you think God wants you to read your Bible daily? If you don't think so, let me just say, God wants you to read your Bible every day. Do you think God wants you to pray daily? Absolutely. He wants. Matter of fact, Paul exhorts us to pray without ceasing. So we're exhorted in God's word to spend time with him. Do you think that God wants us to tell others about him? I seem to recall something called a Great Commission. Go therefore into wherever you're comfortable. No, go therefore into all the world. You know, we have a responsibility to tell others about Christ. So we know God wants us to study his word. We know God wants us to spend time in prayer. We know God wants us to tell others about him. So how you doing? Just to put it bluntly, how you doing? How are you doing in your life? Are you spending time in his word? Are you spending time with him in prayer? Are you telling others about him? Listen, I want to be clear about this. I think somewhere along the way we've sort of gotten the idea that the only time we're ever really telling somebody about Christ is if we're taking them through the four spiritual laws or taking them through the Roman road or whatever version of sharing the gospel is. Sharing the gospel is telling someone about Christ, period. It may be a little bit, because that may be all the time that you have. That may be all the time that they'll listen. So it's just planting seeds. It's just a little bit here and there as you can, as God opens a door to give you opportunity to tell someone else about Christ. And we need to be faithful in doing that. We know that that's something that God wants us to do. We need to be aware of the fact that when we omit those things, when we omit studying God's word, when we omit prayer, when we omit telling others about Christ, that we are indeed living in sin. In the first chapter of James, we're reminded that the person who is a hearer only of God's word and not a doer is also sinning. I think we have the tendency to hear that and we sort of let it sink in. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right, preacher. You're not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer. And then we walk out of the door and we're just a hearer and not a doer. We're not doing what we know we should be doing. How many times have you felt God's conviction as you were listening to a sermon or as you were reading scripture or praying, and then you go away and don't do what you know God was convicting your heart to do? I want to assure you that I'm guilty of this, and I'm not pointing a finger at you without pointing a finger at myself in the midst of this. I know there have been many times when I sensed God's conviction about something that I needed to do or that I needed to do differently, but gave that conviction enough time to wear off. You know, because you know the best response to conviction in your life is just let it ride. It'll wear off eventually, he said sarcastically. That's not how we're to respond to God. When we feel conviction, the thing to do is to respond, to take action, to do what God would have us to do in the midst of that. Unfortunately, when we do that, when we let it go to waste, when we just let it wear off, we don't experience God's blessing and we don't experience the joy of obedience and his closeness in our lives. When I'm actually obedient to God, he allows me to experience the joy of intimacy and peace that comes from being with him. Understand, God doesn't want to withhold from us. He loves us dearly, and he wants us to experience that closeness with him, but our disobedience is sin, and that sin keeps us from experiencing that until we repent and become obedient. I've told you before that I grew up in a neighborhood, in a subdivision. I didn't grow up in one of those Atlanta metro area subdivisions where you open your window and you can pass salt to your neighbor through their window. It wasn't quite that close, but the houses were somewhat close together, especially if you're used to living in a more rural setting where you have plenty of property between you and your neighbor. But not only that, I grew up in a subdivision that had multiple subdivisions around it. And it wasn't the style of subdivision like you see nowadays where there's like one entrance into that subdivision. It was like these places had multiple ways into them, so you really didn't know when you were leaving one subdivision to go to another unless you knew the subdivisions. It wasn't like there was a new sign that you were entering a new subdivision. So anyway, in my neighborhood, there were a bunch of kids when I was young, and we would, we'd gravitate towards somebody's house and play ball, whether it was football, basketball, baseball, whatever. And then other times, we'd ride bikes. And there was a guy down the street from me that rode motocross all over the Southeast. I mean, he was going all over every weekend riding motocross, and I don't know how many times he was injured doing that, because I'm convinced that if he was growing up today, he'd be an X Games kind of guy, because there was nothing he was afraid of doing. And I remember he used to set up ramps in his yard, and the road I lived on had a big hill, and he'd come flying down that hill, and he'd hit a ramp, and he'd jump trash cans, and have very little space to land before he had to stop before hitting a tree. Really smart stuff, but I thought he was cool. But I was hanging out at his house one day, and his house backed up to another guy who actually rode motocross as well, and they kind of raced against one another some, and he happened to be out in his yard, so we hopped the fence and we went over to his house. Then we ended up going inside and hanging out at his house for a while. Well, the problem was this was before cell phones, and you may recall there was actually a time when parents were disciplined. That happened back in the day, and when you told your parents you were going somewhere, that's where you were supposed to be. Well, I was now in another neighborhood. Even though I was just across the fence line, I was in another neighborhood. I was at somebody else's house, and I was in their house. So that, again, back then, they didn't just text you and say, hey, it's time to come home. My mom would stand out and yell, call my name. So if I heard her call my name, I knew I had to come home. If my dad whistled, I knew his whistle from anybody else's whistle. I had to come home. Well, my mom called my name. I didn't come home. Well, come to find out, when I got home, Mom was a little upset, but she was more concerned just because she didn't know where I was. She was glad that I was safe, but what had happened when she was calling my name, actually an ice cream truck came through the neighborhood. She was calling me because she had some money ready for me for the ice cream truck. Now, my mom didn't do that every time the ice cream truck came through our neighborhood, but that day, I would have had ice cream. I missed out on ice cream. Because I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be. If you will, I was out of fellowship with my mom. I was somewhere I wasn't supposed to be, and I missed out on the joy, the ice cream, of that fellowship. I'm afraid too many times in our Christian walk, we miss out on the joy of being in God's presence because we're somewhere we're not supposed to be. We're out of fellowship with God. We're not spending time with Him the way that we should, and better than any ice cream you'd ever have is intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Spending time with Him, allowing Him to pour into us and getting to know Him, but it's waiting right there for us. But when we omit the things that we know we're supposed to do, we miss that fellowship. As we're approaching a new year, and we have a tendency to make resolutions, can I encourage you to be resolved to get closer to Christ in 2021? Regardless of what comes, but be intentional and give yourself clear steps or a clear plan that you're going to do. Don't just say, well, I'm going to be closer to God in 2021. Well, if you know you haven't been spending time in God's Word, don't just sit back and say, okay, I'm going to spend an hour every day in God's Word. That's a wonderful goal. But if you hadn't been spending any time in God's Word, you're not going to do an hour. Sorry, you're just not. So how about starting with 10 minutes or 15 minutes? Say, I'm going to spend time in God's Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. I'm going to be intentional. Maybe you're going to journal your quiet time. My kids, they keep journals of their quiet times. They spend time in God's Word, and they write down things that God speaks to them in their quiet time. Be intentional. Take steps to grow closer to God in the new year. Don't just omit those things and think that somehow a year from now you're going to be closer to God. If you don't make intentional decisions now and bring those things in you've been omitting, you're not going to be closer to God. But if you will do that, if you'll be intentional about that, you'll find that a year from now, you'll look back and you say, you know what? I've experienced God this year. And more than anything in 2021, we need to experience God. We need to be in His presence. God wants that fellowship with us, but we can't keep omitting things that He wants us to do and somehow experience that fellowship. So we see guilty by omission. But now I want to give you two keys to a fantastic memory in 2021. Two keys to a fantastic memory. First of all, Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then back in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. The first key to a fantastic memory in 2021 is to seek God. To seek God. Now, if you want to make good memories for this year, then seek God. Jeremiah 29:13 is a conditional clause. You will find God when you search for Him. How? With all your heart. With all your heart. I want that to wash over you for just a second. Are we really seeking God with all our heart? Or are we just sort of paying lip service to it? Are we kind of treating it like we do some relationships in our life? You know, some relationships in our life, we do more out of obligation than we do out of a real desire to express love. You know, your spouse has been after you about doing one thing or another, and you've been putting it off, and you've finally gotten to the point where, okay, fine. And you do it. Now, you may not say that out loud, but in your mind, that's what's going on because you don't want to hear any more about it. So you just do it. But there's very little love in the midst of that. Or you're in the middle of that ball game and you're really enjoying it. And it's a critical moment in the ball game. Or maybe put it in another context for others. You're in that, you're a great movie and you're really in that wonderful moment. And we'll just rewind a little bit, like we don't have the ability to pause the movie anymore. And you don't want to be interrupted, but that name comes up on your phone and you know every time they call, they need something. But you really don't want to take it, but you take it out of obligation. But it's not what you want to do. And let's be fair, there's no love in the midst of that. You're doing it because you were obliged to. How many times are we treating God like that? I'm going to read my Bible today because I have to. I heard years ago, and it's true for all of us as Christians, I pray we'll get to the point where we get to go to church and don't have to go to church. I pray we'll get to the point where we get to read our Bible, we don't have to read our Bible. You see, the motivation in our heart ought to be to spend time with God. It ought to be in His presence, to do what's pleasing Him, to Him. But we're seeking God, but we're doing it half-heartedly rather than doing it from a heart that genuinely loves Him and wants to be with Him. We don't want to feel guilty, so we squeeze a little time out for God and we check it off our list. Yeah, I read my Bible today and I prayed. You know, one of the things I struggle with in prayer, besides the fact that I struggle with paying attention, is listening. I can talk a lot, but you've heard me say over and over, prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. We need to be listening to God when we're praying too. God wants us to know Him. He wants us to experience fellowship with Him, but if we don't spend time with Him and if we don't listen to Him, we're not genuinely going to grow in Him. The reason we don't know God better than we do, the reason we're not discerning His will, is because we're not seeking Him with every ounce of who we are. James tells us that the urgent request or the fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful in its effect. I'm afraid one of the reasons our prayers are not powerful prayers is because we're not pursuing God with every ounce of who we are. You see, the Word of God makes a promise to us. If you will seek Him, you will find Him if you pursue Him with all of your heart. Our prayers will have more impact. They will be more powerful when we're seeking God with all of our heart. Just a few weeks ago now, Daniel Bard was named baseball's comeback player of the year in the National League. Daniel's a 35-year-old pitcher. He retired from baseball in 2017. You see, he was drafted number one by the Boston Red Sox, their first pick in the draft of 2006. He had a powerful arm. He made his way to the big leagues pretty quickly, and he was having some success. But unfortunately, somewhere along the way, he became very mechanical in what he was doing, and he could not find the strike zone. He might throw one in the zone, and the next one might be at the batter's head. Not intentionally, he just could not locate his pitches. He could not throw strikes. He was struggling. They sent him down to the minor leagues. He bounced around the minor leagues for a few years, never could find his stuff, and finally retired. After retiring from the game, he became a player mentor with the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. So he stayed connected to the game, and he continued to work out, and he continued to throw. Well, all of a sudden, he found something, and the Colorado Rockies were impressed enough with what they saw in him that they signed him in February of this year to a minor league contract. And he made the opening day roster of the big league club. This season, he made 23 appearances. He pitched 24 and two-thirds innings, including 14 scoreless innings, and had a 3.65 ERA. He struck out 27. He had a 4-2 record, and he had 6 saves this year. His gap between standing on the mound of over 7 years, is the sixth longest for a pitcher since 1969. He lost his focus. He became mechanical, and he forgot simply how to throw strikes. Something that he just always naturally did became mechanical. I'm afraid in our Christian walk, we become mechanical. We go through the motions. Instead of really desiring to spend time with God, we're just going through the motions. We're checking off our list, and we aren't really experiencing God. We aren't really pursuing God. The problem that many of us have is we think that once we've asked God's forgiveness, we're kind of done. That's all we need to do. Just show up, go to church, throw a little money in the plate every now and then, read my Bible, and, you know, just go through the motions. Paul tells us in Philippians to work out your salvation, that it's a process that begins. You're saved, but that sanctification process begins once you're saved, once you're justified. And you grow, you are to grow in Christ, and that's an ongoing process, and it needs to continue. You see, I've been in church all my life. When I think back on it, I don't think there's been more than 2 consecutive Sundays in my life that I've been out of church. I've been to seminary, I've been in the ministry over 32 years, and yet I feel like I've just begun to scratch the surface of what I can know about God. I am so glad he is so much bigger than anything I could begin to know, because that means my entire life I'll keep discovering new things about him. I'll keep experiencing him more and more. The more I know about him, the more I realize that I don't know about him. I want to reach the place in my life where he saturates my every thought. Can I confess to you? I know I'm not there. You see, I still have wicked thoughts. I still wander off on things that I shouldn't be wandering off on. I don't want to live my life with a spiritually flawed memory. I don't want to forget to do the things that I know that I must do to have a close, intimate fellowship with God. And I know upon the authority of his word, if I seek him with all my heart, I will indeed find him. That's a promise that we can count on, but we must be willing to seek him, and we must ask ourselves if we are indeed seeking him with all of our heart. Are you willing to settle for a flawed memory, to be guilty by omission, or do you want to have a fantastic memory? If you want to have a fantastic memory in 2021, start by seeking God with all of your heart. So we see the first key to a fantastic memory is to seek God with all of your heart. The second key to a fantastic memory is to abide with God. To abide with God. For that, we're going to turn to John chapter 15, where Jesus is speaking here in John 15, and he says, "Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If you want to really experience God, if you really want to experience his power and his presence in your life, then you'll have to pursue him with all of your heart and remain in him. Abide in him. I'm afraid a lot of us struggle at that point. And let me be clear. Part of remaining in him is spending time in his word, is spending time in prayer. That's absolutely a part of remaining in him. That is seeking him, but that's also a part of remaining in him. But let me make it clear, that is not everything about remaining in him, because God doesn't just want that 15, that 30, that 45 minutes, that hour, whatever it is that you spend in God's word. He doesn't just want that time. He wants all of our time. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. Because we're to abide with him. We're to remain in him. Jesus made that analogy of the vine and the branches, because you take that branch away from the vine, it dies, it dries up, it's not going to survive. We need to remain in Christ. He wants us to learn from him. He wants us to experience him throughout our day. Yes, we are to carve out time for him. We're to make intentional time for him, but there is indeed so much more. We must focus on him throughout our day and allow him to impact the way that we think. You see, I'm not remaining in Christ when I'm fussing about the traffic in front of me. Now, I don't actually do that. I'm just speaking theoretically here, okay? Hypothetically. I'm not remaining in Christ when I get angry at the Bulldogs and I want to go out on the field and tackle somebody in the game. Admittedly, if I did that, they would just scrape me up in a body bag and drag me off, because I would be bad news after that. It wouldn't be anything left of me. I'm not remaining in Christ when I'm short-tempered toward my family. Remaining in him will change how we act. It will impact how we respond to those around us. If we're going to produce fruit that lasts for eternity, then we must stay connected to the vine, for he is the vine, and apart from him, we will dry up. Every now and then, unfortunately, way too long since the last time I did this, but every now and then I'll buy my wife flowers. Her favorite flower is a pink carnation. So when we get those carnations, the first thing she does is she'll clip the end of those stems off and she'll put them in water. Now, you know what will happen if you don't put them in water. They'll dry up. If you were to, say, have a dozen of those carnations and you were to clip all 12 of them and put 12 of them in that vase with water and then take one out and just lay it aside on the counter, what do you think is going to happen to that one? You clipped it, you put it in water for a minute, but you took it out of the water. It's still going to dry up. And it's going to be obvious which one didn't get water compared to the others. The funny thing about the Christian life is you can put on the mask, you can talk the talk, you can look the part, but be apart from the vine. And on the inside, unbeknownst to everyone around you, absolutely dried up. I wonder how many of you are here today, and if you were honest with yourself, you would admit that you're drying up spiritually. If you're drying up spiritually, it's not because God's moved. It's because you've moved. If you're drying up spiritually, it's because you're not remaining in the vine. You're not staying close to Christ. Some of you have been living that way for so long that you don't even know that you're dried up. You've been living apart from the vine for so long that it's become the norm. Dry and dusty is the norm in your life. But I pray today that the Holy Spirit would quicken your heart. I pray today that the Holy Spirit would breathe new life into you, draw you back to Christ, that you would put yourself back in the vine so you would experience new life again. I'm convinced that's why David said, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. When you're allowing anything else to keep you from being close to God, you can pray that prayer. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Lord, reinvigorate me. Remind me of what it was like when I first came to faith in you. And as a new year is about to begin, we need that fresh wind from God. The Christian life is supposed to be marked by peace and joy regardless of the circumstances going on around you. We've chosen to take temporary pleasure and happiness over the joy that God brings. God wants you to know real life. He wants you to know abundant life in him, not just an existence. You don't have to be guilty by omission. You don't have to leave out the things that God wants to do in your life. But right now, take the first step to seek God with all of your heart, and you'll find him waiting there for you. But when you take that step, be intentional about abiding with him or remaining with him. He wants to grow you, but apart from him, you'll dry up. The good news is that no matter how dry you might have become, he can readily, quickly make you fresh and new again. But you must be willing to come to him. Listen, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never invited him into your life, then right now you're dry and dusty spiritually. Right now, not my opinion, what the Word of God says, right now, if he were to return or your life were to be required of you, you'd spend your eternity in a lake of fire. But that's not what God wants for your life. You can change all of that by asking his forgiveness and inviting him into your life. He will forgive you and give you eternal life. Christian, I pray that all of us would carefully examine whether or not we've been seeking him with our all. I would dare say that all of us have room to improve. All of us have room to grow. But if we realize that we've not been seeking him with our all, then ask God to do a work in our hearts that we might indeed pursue him with everything so that we would abide in him. Our growth, the quality of our Christian growth and our walk with him depends on it. Ask God to help you make this new year a year where you truly draw close to him and abide in him all year long. May it be that a year from now you're able to look back and say, I'm closer to Christ than I was a year ago. But that won't happen unless you're intentional about seeking him with your all and abiding in him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as this year comes to a close, with all the craziness and concerns and new normals and new terms, Lord, we confess that we don't understand everything that happens in this life. But we also acknowledge, God, that the only way we'll have peace and joy, no matter what may come in a new year, is by actually seeking you and abiding in you. God, help us to do that above all else. Lord, help us to quit omitting the things that we know we should be doing and instead pursue you. Lord, change the way we think. Help us to be focused upon you in all we do. Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray right now they'd ask your forgiveness and invite you into their life. Whatever you need to do in our hearts today, God, we give this invitation time to you. It's in the powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray these things. Amen.